Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
A few weeks ago here on the show, we brought you an interview with Martina Cox, who's wife of Liverpool fan Sean. And during the conversation, she explained that while Sean is receiving excellent rehabilitation care and supports, much of this is from accessing services privately. And she reiterated the enormous challenges facing people who need rehab and who need more help. And those gaps were then further highlighted in front of the Oireachtas Health Committee. Well, Evelyn O'Rourke has been finding out more about the services on offer to this vulnerable group, and Evelyn is here now. Hi, Evelyn.
Good morning, Claire.
So really stark figures were shared at that presentation at the committee, and this comes after the confirmation. Hundreds of people under the age of 65 requiring care, they're confined to nursing homes.
Yeah, Claire, I mean, once you start talking to anybody caught up in this situation, it really becomes clear so quickly that there are gaps in services for people requiring neurorehabilitation. And as you say, when we spoke to Martina Cox, she said that people dealing with injuries like Sean are constantly doing this battle that you hear about for services. Then a few weeks later, the Oireachtas Health Committee advocates told the members there that 85% of neurological patients do not have access to a community neurorehabilitation team. And this against the backdrop of the Ombudsman report that told us about this figure, and it's gone down a little bit, that around 1,200 people under the age of 65 are living in nursing homes following sudden ill health, and they believed maybe that their placement would be temporary, but they find themselves kind of stuck there.
And you've been speaking to some of those people who very unfortunately experienced a life-changing brain injury, and they've outlined to you the endless challenges they face to get rehab services. So you're going to introduce us now first to Rosie Mangan.
Oh, Rosie's wonderful, really impressive woman. She's a scientist, she specialised in zoology, and she was travelling the world with her now fiancé Connor for years. And then she got a research job in Stirling University in Scotland. She was assigned to a really exciting research opportunity in Brazil. But tragically, while she was there, Claire, she had a car crash. And that has left her really with a life-changing brain injury. And she's a wheelchair user now. She relies mainly on her right side of her body to steer the chair. But she is so passionate, and she is a real advocate for young people under 65 who are languishing, as she says, in nursing homes due to this lack, really. One of the elements is that this lack of community care. And she describes their situation really as a human rights violation. So I went to visit Rosie. I was very lucky to meet her in the beautiful garden of her family home in Offaly, where she now lives with her parents and her partner Connor. But here Rosie tells us a little more.
We're in Dangan County, Offaly, a beautiful little town along the Grand Canal. Beautiful day today.
This is such a peaceful place to live.
Yeah, I mean, I love being in the country.
You live here with your lovely fiancé Connor. He's coming out here at the water and everything. And you've loads of family around you here.
We live with my mum and dad, and then my sister Helen and her fiancé and their two kids, Noah and Nathan, just live 5 minute walk away.
I'm going to ask you to go back and tell me a little bit about your life before all this happened to you, Rosie.
I would have gone to a lot of concerts because I'm a big music fan, lots of festivals, and I would have travelled a lot around the world. Myself and Connor were in India and Nepal shortly after we finished our postgraduates. A lovely life, lots of adventure.
And then your travels led you to South America, and that's where this terrible accident happened.
Yeah. I was working in the University of Stirling. I was a passenger in a car that was crashed into, and that's how I got my traumatic brain injury. That was in November 2019. Put into a medically induced coma, which I was in for about 6 weeks, and then I got repatriated back to Ireland. And I slowly woke up in the matter. I was making kind of hand signals, and then eventually I start speaking. I had to learn to eat again. I was waiting to get into the NRH in March 2020, and that's when COVID kicked off. So there was a suggestion that I would go to a nursing home.
What age were you then?
I was 35. A completely inappropriate place for a young woman like myself, or any young person. I'm very lucky that Connor is a nurse, my mum is a nurse, and my sister Helen is a nurse. They refused. They were like, no. I would have made no progress. And unfortunately, that is the case for so many people in Ireland.
Do you think that if Connor wasn't a nurse and your mum, and you know, you didn't have that immediate nursing support, that you may have had to just go to that nursing home?
I know from meeting other members of the brain injury community, their family members weren't in the in-no situation, and their families are left a dogged fight to try and get them out of it.
That's Rosie. And you went as well to visit the head office of Acquired Brain Injury Ireland, Evelyn. That's a charity that has stepped in to bridge the gap for families.
Yeah, indeed. And I wanted to find out more, I suppose, with the national picture, you know, for people like Rosie. So I went out there to meet up with Barbara O'Connell, who's the CEO of Acquired Brain Injury Ireland. Now, she's got a fascinating story because she explained that she and her husband actually first set up this charity 23 years ago when her own brother Peter had an accident and faced being put into a nursing home when he was young. So since then, they founded Acquired Brain Injury Ireland. Their service is very high in demand. The situation is tough for families, and they are currently advocating for specialist HSE case managers to be assigned across the country to help people access and manage their care. So here Barbara O'Connell outlines the challenges here in Ireland.
I have a brother with an acquired brain injury, and I was working in the National Rehabilitation Hospital at the time as an occupational therapist, and the only place for him was a nursing home. Myself and my husband felt very strongly that he had so much ability to live his life. So we set up the first residential house for people with brain injury, and Peter was the first person there. And to be honest with you, he just went from sleeping, sitting, doing nothing in a nursing home to then actually going out and about on his own eventually after about 6 months and living a really, really good quality of life. So that was in 2000. And then as co-founders, I then became the chief executive and started to try and get funding and make agreements with the HSE that we would now provide specialist training and specialist services for people with a brain injury, because we could prove that with the right rehabilitation and the right intervention, you can make a massive difference to people's lives. And unfortunately, still now, that's my biggest frustration. People are being put into nursing homes because the full pathways are not in place.
You're saying in 2000 there was no other option. In the 23 years since, culturally, has it changed? Is there more political will around it? Do people understand more?
Certainly as Acquired Brain Injury Ireland, you know, we've got places where people can go residentially. We've shown that you can go there for 6 months and we can get you back, you know, to a fairly good, reasonable where your life was like before. And we've got all of the steps in place, but not in every HSE area. There are parts of the country where you can get a very good service, but there are other parts of the country where you can't. You know, the pathway should be something terrible has happened to you, that, you know, they save your life in the most wonderful way, and then, like, there's nothing for some people. Or they have to wait a year or 2 years to get into the National Rehabilitation Hospital because there's so few places. Or you could end up in a nursing home, or you're with families who are having to cope with this new person with all of these challenges without any training. And I suppose what we have shown, it doesn't have to be that way. We can intervene very early on and people can rebuild their lives. It may not be the same life they had before, but it's a meaningful life. We've taken people from nursing homes who've gone back to college. Like, it's that stark.
That's Barbara there. And another story that you came across, this involves another young man who did spend time in a nursing home after his accident. And he's critical of the need for younger people to be placed in homes at all.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, this became a familiar enough story once I got talking to people in the sector. And in Jimmy's case, Claire, he was a carpenter. He was working in France. He had a simple fall, but the impact of it has changed his life. And he was hospitalised first, much like Rosie there, then moved into rehab and then into a nursing home in his 40s. And look, he says he's grateful now that he was moved out of that home. He receives great support from Acquired Brain Injury Ireland and the Sligo service there. He lives independently now in an apartment, but he's also an advocate for services and giving a voice to young people stuck in, as he describes it, inappropriate care settings. And he says he got the right supports in the end and that everybody deserves this. So here Jimmy tells me a little more about his story, how he's coped, starting with describing the kind of activities that he enjoyed before his accident.
Basketball, mm-hmm. or badminton, indoor soccer, boxing. Then I had a head injury. I was out drinking.
And you were coming out the door of the pub and your co-worker came along.
Yes, he tapped me on the shoulder, asked for a cigarette. I put my hand in the inside pocket of my jacket. My feet got locked and I took a tumble straight down, hit my head on the top step. I was rushed to hospital. And I was in an induced coma for 6 weeks. I was flown back to Ireland. I went to the National Rehab Hospital and learned to walk again.
Some people are sent to nursing homes. Is that something that happened to you?
Yes, I was sent to one. I was there for 6 months. I didn't like it very much. And that's putting it quite politely.
Just such a simple accident that he had, you know, that's the other side to all of this. Now, the common theme amongst the people, Evelyn, that you've been talking to is the united belief that the aftercare for people who have an acquired brain injury, like those we've been hearing about, that it's just inadequate.
Yeah, I mean, they tell you that, you know, they give you example after example of people who are really struggling to get services from right, you know, young age right through. And they say that everybody, like Rosie says, needs to get that chance to lead their new full life, you know, this new life that they'll have, whatever version is the best possible one for them. And she, for example, can't get badly needed physio that she wants at the moment, so she's now relying on another charity for this. So the battle kind of never ends. And they say while the hospital care in the immediate aftermath of an accident is improving, which is great, you know, as Barbara said, they can't just save people and then not have a plan for what happens next. They want a clear pathway. They want these case managers. So here Jimmy and Rosie finally tell us more about their reasons for speaking out.
When I initially got in there, I was thinking to myself, why am I surrounded by people 30 or 40 years older than me? You have to remember, I was only 36 at the time.
So it was shocking, really, to suddenly be there.
Yeah. Only for the ABI, I may have remained there. Somebody had to step in.
When you hear that there's a big push to try and talk about the young people in nursing homes, you agree with that? They should not be there.
Definitely. I genuinely don't agree with young people like myself being put in a nursing home. Although, don't get me wrong, the services in the nursing home were very good. I firmly believe people my age need services like Sligo ABI in all counties.
2 years ago, the Ombudsman wrote a report called Wasted Lives, where there was 1,300 people under the age of 65 in nursing homes. Now, that has slightly improved, but they're still moving people back in. And when you think about young people, like, they've had to fight to survive everything they've been through with their brain injury. But then they're left for a lifetime of unimaginable loneliness. That just makes me really sad, but also motivates me, because I'm damn sure I'll get those people out with my advocacy, and I'm going to help Acquire Brain Injury Ireland to fight for a better transition home for brain injury survivors. I know my own experience. Your rehabilitation only really starts when you're at home, when you're in real life situations. I'm very glad for my experience in hospital. I had great rehabilitation there, but it's just not the same as being at home.
You strike me as being quite a determined person who quite likes to make her own way in the world. Thank you very much.
I think maybe a more honest way, stubborn, is probably the best description. I would just say to the government, 19,000 people a year acquire a brain injury. We're part of the community. If you allow us to rehabilitate, adapt and become the best new version of ourselves, why is that not an investment?
That's Rosie there, ending that report from Evelyn. Evelyn, thank you very much. And thanks too to Rosie and to Jimmy and to everyone else who took part. Back after this.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.